Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Let's pray. Lord, you are a merciful God, and we come before you in thanksgiving this morning. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God we have in our hands. We thank you for Christian fellowship along the way. I thank you for the opportunity to preach one more time. I pray, Lord, if there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul will come to you before it's everlastingly too late. And I pray for every child of God that's in this room this morning. I pray to God you'd strengthen our faith. I pray you'd grow us up. I pray that you'd help us to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to meet the challenges of life, and do it with a testimony. I ask you, Lord, to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. I ask your Holy Spirit to have his way in each life here today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Several ways that I could look at this. In fact, this passage is a tremendous passage to teach from and to preach from. But notice in verse 1, like precious faith. That's Peter. That's an old rough fisherman. That's a commercial fisherman talking about precious faith. And then he goes down in verse 4. He talks about the knowledge, and the knowledge we have of God we get from the word that I have in my hands right here. That's the knowledge you have. The knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue in verse 4, whereby through this knowledge are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. And what do they do for you? Why, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now he goes on and he lists a bunch of different things that we can add. And that's a good sermon. It's a good thing for you to read and teach and study and whatever. But I want to just stop and I want to deal topically this morning with precious faith and precious promises. Precious faith and precious promises. How valuable is your faith? How precious is it to you? What do you pay for it? What would you take to give it up? What did it cost you? Did it cost you anything? That precious faith that Peter's talking about, what will it cost you? How valuable is it? I tell you what, precious faith, what a wonderful, it changed my life. Literally changed my life. This precious faith, you know, I had a little bit of faith back in my mind. I was raised up with a little bit of faith. I was raised in a nation that has a little bit of faith. And so there's this common idea that we're a Christian nation. Of course, we really are not a Christian nation. You see, you're a Christian if you're born again, and the nation's not born again. Sometimes we judge us that way because we've had such a strong Christian influence on this nation. And maybe the strongest influence in this nation over these years has been Christianity. And therefore, the morality and the teaching of the laws and whatever, so we come up with a Christian country, but it's not necessarily so. The majority of this country is lost. The majority of this country does not hold the same precious faith that you hold. But I look back on something that came to me, and what is this precious faith made up of? Promises. You know, I remember over 45 years ago why I promised Verlene I'd be her husband till death would part me. She promised to be my wife. Now, a few times that's been tested. You understand? That's been tested. But we made a promise. Sometimes my promises aren't as good as some people's promises, and maybe your promises aren't as good as somebody else's promises, but how about God? Can you trust Him?
Amen.
Can you trust God? Ah, you're going to get tested on that one probably every year of your life. And you think, boy, the older I get and the further I get down the line, can I trust God? Well, it doesn't quit. The testing doesn't stop. The problems do not cease. You come out of the womb crying and you go into the grave the same way, and you got a whole lot of it in between. Now thank God for the beautiful things that happen to you in life. Thank God for the people that bless you, the people that touch you, the people that change you. Thank God for some people that have just brought something good into your life. You know, not everything in my life has been bad. Most of my life is good. I'm not like some people. I haven't been sick all my life. I've been sick. I don't like being sick. I've been in pain. I don't like when you get pain and they can give you their medicine and it doesn't cut it. You know, you got some pain. Man, I don't like pain. I mean, I'll do most anything to get out of pain. Don't you feel about the same way? We don't like pain. I don't like misery. I don't like unhappiness. I don't like a lot of things there are in life, but praise God, my particular life, I can't speak for you, but my particular life's been a very happy life. Not a whole lot of pain, not a whole lot of misery, not a whole lot of bad things. And yet, my friend, as I look through life and I think about what God has done for me and the precious promises in this book right here, that's what my faith's built on. Very precious promises. Now, I'm going to go through a few of them topically in the sense that I'm just going to deal with promises and I'm going to deal with a few verses and I want to see if you have these same promises. Because you see, the promises that God has given to me almost forced me to be a happy man. Almost forced me to. I don't know how you could hold the promises I hold and be a sad man. I just don't understand it. And so these things and what they've done for me, do they do for you or will they do for you if you can see them as a promise yourself? I want to start with the first precious promise. The most valuable one to me at all is John 3:16. Turn with me to John 3:16. You talk about a promise. We live in this life. There's a whole lot of things that are uncertain. We don't even know who our president is yet. Boy, aren't the comedians having fun with Florida. Florida will never live it down. They are going to be known as the dumb state from here on in. Forget Texas or Arkansas. I mean, Florida just took first place. Bless their hearts. And I'm not sure it was their fault. It might just be the politicians' fault. Do you know most of all those ballots? The people voted for everybody else. They just didn't vote for the president. And they're trying to count them. I mean, those ballots were counted because they voted for commissioner and somebody else. The guys got up and said, I don't like either one of these guys. Now we're going to discern which one they wanted to vote for, huh? Yeah, have fun. Let me tell you what, out of all the things in life and all of the uncertainties of life, I'm so glad John 3:16 is in this book.
Amen.
I had a pastor friend. He was a very, very good soul winner. And I went into many a home with him, and he would simply say, do you have a Bible? Instead of carrying his own Bible, which he had in his pocket, he would talk to the person in the house and say, do you have a Bible in the house? And most of them would say yes. He said, well, go get your Bible. Let them go get their own Bible. He'd turn them, help them to find John 3:16, and then he'd say, would you read this to me? And he'd have them read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he'd lead them to the Lord out of their own Bible in their own living room with just John 3:16. You know what that says? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, listen. I was just about 21 when I got this straight. 21 years old when I finally got this straight. God Almighty died in my place. I'm not going to hell. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I am not going to hell. The worst I'll ever see is this earth. Everlasting life. How long does that last? Well, look at verse 36 of the same chapter, John 3:36. Interesting. He that believeth on the Son hath, that's present possession right now, everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If it begins today and ends tomorrow, was it everlasting? Not by any stretch of your imagination. Everlasting means everlasting. Or the dictionary has no, we got real problems. We won't even be able to communicate with each other. I can't tell you how to go to McDonald's to get a hamburger if the words don't have any meaning. God loved me and God loved you. And He loved you so much, He paid a debt so big you could not pay it. He put Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and laid your sins on Him. And then He made a promise. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish. You worried about perishing? I know Christians that are still worried about perishing because they haven't been taught right, or they haven't believed right, or somehow their faith is not exactly right. You know, my faith is built on believing promises. You know what my faith is built on? I don't know a lot of things on how to describe it, but I'll tell you one thing very simple. God made a promise. I said, God said that. I believe I'm reading it right. I believe I understand it. I believe it. And let me tell you, if nothing ever went right for you the rest of your life, nothing. If you developed cancer this week and you had all sorts of problems and nobody liked you, there's not anybody here nobody likes. Some of you only have a few that like you, I understand. But not any of us in here nobody likes. But if you went through life with nobody liking you, but you already had everlasting life, you ought to be able to thank God every day. There shouldn't be a single day, whether you're laying in a hospital bed or you're laying in a prison cell, or whether you're lonely over somewhere in a nursing home somewhere down the way, there shouldn't be a day you couldn't praise God because you had everlasting life. How long is this life going to last? I don't know how long it's going to last for me. It's already lasted 64 years. I remember last year about this time, everybody was worried about the Y2 bug, the millennium bug. None of the computers were going to work. The world was going to fall on its face. And there was something to worry about. I mean, big business is spending billions of dollars to take care of this problem. They don't spend that money unless there's a reason. And there was a reason. But you know what? This year's gone by mighty fast. Have you noticed how fast? How many disasters? Well, we had drought, we had excessive heat, and now we've had excessive water. All in the same year. Had a lot of problems this year, right? Did it change your everlasting life? It didn't affect mine. It got me a little closer to it. Now, as a few car wrecks I've been in and a few places I've gone, I thought I was very, very close. I remember one time I was in a revival meeting, and this man had heard of me preach. He hadn't come to the church. He was a 70-year-old man. And I was with the pastor and the evangelist, and I'm sitting in his living room. And I said, sir, I'd like to talk to you about your eternal soul and where you're going to spend eternity. He said, you're a dirty communist. And he pulled a .38, loaded, by the way. It was a revolver. I could see the bullet sitting in the chambers. Pointed at my face, and I'm going to send you straight to hell. I said, well, first of all, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. You know something? I had eternal life. Now, that night, I shook and trembled like a leaf on a tree when I got to thinking how close I was to not ever kissing Verlene again. When I got to thinking I wouldn't pet my kids anymore, you know, and I laid in the bed that night after the whole meeting was over and thought, oh boy, you were close. You were really, really close. Have you ever been close? I've been close. Several times I've been close. I was a missionary in Guatemala, Central America, and the man, they weren't shoeshine boys, they were men. That's how they made their living. He's shining my shoes while he's telling me what the communists were going to do to us. How they were going to kill all the missionaries. Now, he'd rejoice when all the Christians got killed and all the missionaries got killed. That's the guy shining my shoes. The gal that we had, we'd led to the Lord, and she worked with us some. She'd go out, and there was a man standing outside and said, we're going to kill your boss. He's undermining the faith of Guatemala. We're going to kill your boss. I've been close. How close? I really don't know. But as Willie Cosby said, when a guy stuck a gun in his face, he said, you're threatening me with heaven? Have you thought it through? Do you have everlasting life? No matter what happens to you, do you have everlasting life? What a promise! What a promise! What a great, wonderful promise! Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you know it from the Word of God? Is this something you can go to bed with every night? You ought to be able to. Oh man, you'd sleep better. Oh yeah, some of the problems of life would just sort of fall down by the wayside. I mean, they wouldn't be near as big as they are to you. Some of the things that keep you awake at night and some of the things that just tear you up. Have you thought about what you have? God Himself has promised you everlasting life. And all you had to do was believe. Are you a believer? Do you believe that? Boy, I don't think you do. How many believe that?
Amen.
Well, let's try it one more time.
Amen.
I'll be a cheerleader. Let's see if you can do it better.
Amen.
Amen. There is such a thing as eternal life. Praise God for the promises. Praise God for the precious promise of eternal life. Ah, there's another one. Look at 1 John 1:9. 1 John, not the Gospel of John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. I heard Brother Brian telling you how big a sinner I was this morning. He said, every man, so he must have meant me, is a sinner every day. Well, I'll tell you what, I confess, I am a sinner every day. I'm not proud of my sin. Many times I'm ashamed of my sin. Sometimes my sin keeps me awake at night. Sometimes my sin embarrasses me. It bothers me. But yes, I am a sinner. Now here's the verse, verse 9. If we confess our sin, He, talking about God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't say if you pay for your sin. No, praise God, I haven't paid for all of my sin. Jesus paid for all of my sin. He said if we confess our sin. He didn't say if we do penance for our sin. Not if we prayed so many prayers. Not if we did so many. No, if we confess our sin. Do you have a sin that keeps bothering you, that just keeps tripping you up, that you keep falling? You know what I've learned? Confess it. Confess. Don't hide it. Confess it. You just keep confessing it. There, I did it again, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I did it again, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Before long, you get to where that won't be a bother to you if you'll do what He said. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. He said, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What kind of a promise is that? Have you ever thought about that as a promise? A promise God gave you, a promise you can live with, a promise you can go to God with every day? If I will confess my sins, He'll forgive them. If I will confess them, He will cleanse me. I go to God and I say, God, I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have thought what I thought. I shouldn't have done what I did. Could not have done it. Forgive me. You know where I walk away? Clean. Clean. Now my mind won't let me be completely clean. Because my mind says you did that and you've done it before and you'll do it again. My mind will badger me and embarrass me and hound me. I'll think they're thinking about that. She thought about that. Or he said that. Did he mean this? But you know what God says? He said when He forgives them, He removes them as far as the east is from the west. To be remembered against us no more, buried in the depths of the sea, to be remembered against us no more. What a promise! Now, if you look in Psalm 66, look at Psalm 66, 18, because this promise has a real value to it. Psalm 66, 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You're in real trouble with sin. Because when you're living in sin, when you're running from God, God's not going to mess with you. Just like a good father sometimes has to spank his children. And sometimes when the children get big enough and old enough to protect the rest of the kids, he's got to tell them to get out. You can't stay in my house if you're not going to live by my rules. You can't stay here and live the way you're living. Iniquity and sin always brings bad consequences. And one of the things it does, it hinders your prayer life. You got sin, you got a problem with sin, you think you can go on in your sin and just walk in fellowship with God? It won't happen. That's why 1 John 1:9 is such a tremendous verse. If we confess our sins, we all are always getting into trouble. Now some of you are sweeter than others, I know. Some of you are so sweet, you just think your sweat doesn't smell bad. But it does. It does. Everybody's a sinner. The sweetest little old girl. Once in, it just smiles up at you. You're just a little angel. No, she's probably a little devil. If you knew her well enough, you'd probably know. We, all of us, are a mess. Now, some of us have sins that are more acceptable. We have sins that are more polite. We have sins that are more, not as embarrassing as other people's sins. But they're still sin, nonetheless. It's sin. And when we've got this problem to deal with every day of our life, is it an embarrassment to you? It's been an embarrassment to me all my life. Since I got saved, I have been embarrassed by my saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, thinking the wrong thing. I've been embarrassed by my sin. I've been embarrassed by my rebellion against God. I've been embarrassed about my stubbornness and my stupidity. And I hate those two things in everybody else and especially in myself. But I got 1 John 1:9. That's a promise. Here's a promise. It is a precious promise. It is such a precious promise you can build your faith on it. It is such a precious promise you can walk every day of your life with this one if we confess our sin. He's faithful, He's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that beautiful? To me, what a beautiful thing. Not only that I have eternal life, but while I walk this dirty, muddy, sinful road down here through life, God Almighty makes a way for me to walk with Him. Oh yeah, I get out of the way, I get mad, I cuss somebody out, I lust after something, I cheat, lie, steal, whatever. And then I realize, man, I've broken my fellowship with the lover of my soul. I say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I did it. You don't have to jump on me. I did it. I was a school teacher in the public schools in the inner city for 20 years. And you know, I'd see somebody chewing gum, minor offense. You know, they weren't carrying a gun. They weren't stabbing anybody. Chewing gum, I'd say, Johnny, take the gum out of your mouth. I don't have any gum. I just saw him chewing it, hanging out of his mouth half the time while he's there. I don't have any gum. Oh, you know what I do? I come down hard on him. If Johnny just said, yes, sir, nothing to do. No problem. That's the way God is. You come up before God, I'm clean. Now, Lord, they're dirty, but I'm clean. Lord, all of them are sinning against you, but Lord, I know you're proud to have me. You're not going to get many prayers answered. I just want you to understand. Let me tell you what, the way you go to a God that is so holy, so pure, He cannot look upon sin, is by 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You walk around thinking you're righteous. You walk around thinking you're good. You walk around thinking you're right. Well, you better fall down on your knees before the Father in heaven and ask for forgiveness. God Almighty, forgive me and take the promise. Build your faith on the precious promise. If I confess it, He'll forgive it. Not only will He forgive it, He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west from me. He'll bury it in the depths of the sea to be remembered against me no more. Now I want you to know, to me, that is a precious promise. Do you believe that? Are you acting on that? Do you walk that way? That's the way to walk every day. You get up in the morning and you confess the sins of the night. You go to bed at night and you confess the sins of the day. You're walking, driving down the road in your car. You're riding your bicycle. You're sitting in your office or in your classroom. And immediately it comes upon your mind, I've sinned against the Lord. You simply confess it. Keep short accounts with God. You know what? That's a precious promise. That lets your conscience walk through life with such tremendous blessings. I'm thankful for some things. Look at John 15, the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. The Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. If I went to, he doesn't owe me anything. I didn't even vote for him. I told jokes on him. I've made fun of him. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me anything at all. You know, he's probably not going to answer my request. And yet I have a God in heaven who said that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. You know what I can do today? I can walk into the courts of heaven in the midst of the Holy of Holies because I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because God has made me a priest of the living God. I walk into the presence of Almighty God. I speak to Him as my Father, and I ask Him for something. And let me tell you, for 43 years, God's been answering those prayers. I don't have everything I've asked for, because I think sometimes He's given me an answer of no, which was best for me, even when I didn't think so. Oh, lots of times I sure thought I was right and God had to be wrong. But from the rest of this book, I find no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And if He's withheld it from me, it must not have been good for me. It might be good for you to win the lottery. It might not be good for me to win the lottery. It might be good for you to be rich. I'm sure there's some people can handle riches. Most people I know can't. The more money they make, the less they have to do with God. People who used to walk with God when they were poor, they get a lot of money. They can't walk with God anymore. It's a real problem. It's covetousness. And how are you going to deal with your money? And by the way, a bunch of you in here have way too much money. You're some of the richest people that have ever walked the face of the earth. You in this room are some of the richest people that are alive today. I don't care if you're on welfare. I remember when I was in Guatemala as a missionary and I was talking to a lady. She didn't have a refrigerator. My next door neighbor, which was a vice president of the main bank in town, did not have a refrigerator. And they had the riots up in New York and Watts. And she said, they've all got TVs. They've all got refrigerators. Why are they rioting? See, to her, she couldn't understand that. They're so rich, they've got refrigerators. They've got television. They've got apartments. They got homes. Why are they rioting? We are so rich. Do you ever think of yourself as rich? You ought to. What about a promise from the God of heaven who is able to do anything he wants to do? You couldn't stop God from anything he wanted to do. He's Almighty God. If God were a bad God, if the devil were God, you couldn't change him. Who are you? You're just one of his creation. You're just a little ant, like the dust on the balance of a balance, a weight balance. You're just like the dust that's on the guy that's dealing with it and weighing things out doesn't bother to wipe the dust off, afraid it's going to upset the scales. That's what the nations are to God, the Bible says. You're not that important. And yet God made you so. God made you so important, he said, I'll listen to you. I will listen to you.
Amen.
I can't get listened to. Governor Bush, I voted for him, but he probably wouldn't recognize me. I go, I want to see Brother Bush. Brother Bush. I want to see Governor Bush. Governor Bush, does he know you? Did you give $10,000 to his campaign? Are you a friend of his father's? No. Bush isn't going to talk to me. He doesn't have time for me. But God in heaven does. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's precious. That is a precious promise. You're in pain on your bed, and you can look up inside that room and speak to God in heaven. Let him know your heart. Let him know your thoughts. And he said that he might hear your prayers and answer them. And prayer is one of the biggest doctrines in this book, if you want to count it as far as number of verses applied to it in the Bible. Very few things are greater than prayer. God is a God who answers prayer. His house shall be called the house of prayer. He tells us to freely pray, and he tells us he'll answer our prayers. Now you talk about a precious promise. What are you doing walking through life without praying? What are you doing being in trouble and not going to God and telling him about it? What do you do, have a husband or a wife that's in trouble and not go to God and tell him about it? What are you doing with a child in trouble and you don't take him to God? God said he'll hear and answer your prayer. That's a precious promise. You need to live in these promises.
Amen.
You'll have a better life. I'm talking about a successful, abundant Christian life is one that by faith lives in the promises of God. He said he'd answer prayer. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Oh man, I can't go through all the promises. I'm just going to get through a handful. This book is a promise book. I've read my Bible so many times that after a period of time of reading it so much, I started reading it in different ways to sort of get rid of the boredom, doing the same thing all the time. And I remember one year I bought a new Bible with a good print, and I took a green pencil. And I went through that Bible that year marking the promises of God in green. Nothing else. Just the promises of God. And then I kept that Bible. And when I would get a little bit depressed, or I'd be a little bit down, or I'd have a blue day, I'd just go get my one Bible marked in green and read nothing but green. Oh, you don't have to read but about 10 minutes. You'll come across a promise of God that just sits right for you. Wow, did God say that? Did God mean that? Yes, he did. By the grace of God, he meant it. This book is a promise book. It's not like the kids do in school. It's not like the little girls pass around. This is a promise book. This is a real promise book. It's the kind of promise book you can live on. It's the kind of promise book you can have comfort and peace with. Look at this. Chapter 13, Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow. I've had a lot of friends that have left me. I've had some people forsake me. And yet God in heaven said, I will never leave thee. You down today? You feel sort of estranged and alone today? Things not exactly going right today? Have you read that verse? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Bless your heart. I can put myself to bed with that one. I can get up and in the midst of loss, in the midst of sorrow, I can say, he will never leave me nor forsake me. In the midst of a tremendous tragedy in the church or in the families of the church, even in my own home, in my own life, I can look up by simple faith and say, He will never leave me nor forsake me. What a promise. What a promise. Do you believe that? If you believe that, you can't have a bad day. If you believe that, you can't have a bad day. Because on your very worst day, you know God's with you. In the midst of tremendous temptation, in the midst of trial, of suffering or whatever, He has not left me. When the devil comes to you and whispers, you are such a sinner, God will not have anything to do with you. You've done something so bad you can never start over again. God will never use you again. By simple faith, a precious promise comes to your mind. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but that's one of those precious promises that precious faith has made precious to my soul. Amen. And I thank God for the precious promises that are filling this book. Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, I left all denominations, and I left all denominational names. And we meet in the name of Jesus. You might have seen the sign out there. We glorify the name of Jesus. Almost every letter I send, I say greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or greetings in Jesus' name, or greetings in the powerful name of Jesus, or the wonderful name of Jesus. I've got up in churches, denominational churches, say, I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And then preach the Word of God. I value that. You know what He said here? 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now you may be sitting here feeling dull and tired and thinking, man, is He going to quit but 12? Probably not. I'm talking about the promises of God today.
Amen.
I'll quit pretty quick though. We're two or three. Don't have to have a big crowd. You don't have to have 5,000 people. You don't have to have 200 people to have a church. To get the presence of God, He said, we're two or three. Or gather together in my name. There's your condition. He said, there am I in the midst. You know, there's a promise I trust in every time I preach. That's it right there. When I get up to preach, you know what I believe? You know what I trust? God's here. Oh, I may just sound like another guy to you. In fact, I may sound like a Texas hick to you. First time I ever heard myself on recordings, I thought, who is that hick? Couldn't believe it could be me, educated, master's degree, worked towards a PhD. Why, that couldn't be me. It was. It was me. Oh, let me tell you something, friend. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. When I get up and preach this book, do you know what I believe is going to happen? I believe the Holy Spirit of God's going to touch your heart. I get up with confidence. Not that I'm going to preach a good sermon. Not that I'm going to be liked or accepted. Not that all of you are ever going to come back. But that God, the Holy Spirit, will bless His Word when I preach it. And that some people in this room are going to be touched by God. Because I got a promise. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I'm meeting in His name the best I know how. And I'm preaching His Word the best I know how. And you know what I believe? I believe God Almighty is here today. I believe He's talking to some Christians here thinking, you ought to trust me more. He's telling some Christians, you ought to live in the promises. Not in your circumstances. Your circumstances will get you down. They'll always get you down. I don't care if you buy a new car. Or tell you what, get your old car that you love so much painted and repaired and beautiful and somebody will hit you. I bought a 92 Oldsmobile. You saw me drive it for a long time. Susie and George driving it now. I bought that thing brand new. Whoa, boy, I was so happy with it. I was visiting the Methodist hospital and I came down on that entranceway and the lady in front of me had a whole lane all to herself. But there was a truck coming by and she hit her brakes. Boom! And I smashed into the back of her. Took care of my hood. And a guy in a truck smashed into the back of me. Took care of my trunk. That car was 1 month old. I had a hard time praising God that day. But it can be done. It has to be done. It has to be done. So no matter what I feel like, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the situation is, I need to live in God's promises, not in my circumstances. Amen. How in the world can you walk through life with a smile on your face if you're worried about all your circumstances? Well, I don't have any money. Well, you didn't have any yesterday, so what difference does that make? You ain't going to have much tomorrow, so it ain't going to make much difference, is it? Hey, but I tell you what, I walk with God and God is with me. I meet with God and God meets with me. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Let me tell you who's here today. God's here today.
Amen.
Well, there's a lot more I could go to, but I'm going to skip down to talk to some of you here that are lost. Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. This is a promise. This is a promise. It is such a fantastic promise, you have a hard time believing it. Romans 10, 13. Precious faith takes hold of precious promises. And those who live by precious promises have a better life. They have an abundant life. This verse says right here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall is the strongest word in the English language. You write a contract, you write it with shall. It's stronger than will. It's stronger than may. Shall. For whosoever. Now, that is a very inclusive term. You know, one day I read that and I said, you know, I could put Lindell in there. That's an odd name. Lindell. You got may have grown up, got sort of gotten used to it, but it's an odd name. I had to live with it all my life. They put me in the girls' gym when I went to high school. They thought Lindell Kincaid had to be a girl. I tried to get in, but they wouldn't let me. For whosoever. You say, yeah, but I'm a divorcee. He said, for whosoever. Yeah, but I murdered somebody. For whosoever. Yeah, but I cuss every other word I spoke. For whosoever. Yeah, but I'm just a little guy. For whosoever. Yeah, but I'm a big sinner. For whosoever. Whosoever. Oh, what a promise. You're here today and you're not saved. You're here today, you're not going to heaven. You're here today, you have no peace in your heart. Your sins are not forgiven. Here's what God said. Here's a promise God said. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, that worked for me 43 years ago. 43 years ago, September the 1st. Last night of August, first day of September, it worked for me. I didn't have a very strong faith, but what I'd heard was there's a God in heaven that's merciful. His name's Jesus Christ. And if you'll repent of your sins and call on Him, He'll save you. That's about all I knew. But you know what? I got down on my knees. And I confessed my sin, and I said, Lord, I don't have much, but what I got, I get to you. Forgive me, save me. I'm yours. You saved my soul and changed my life. I've never been the same since. I recommend it to you. Church membership, oh man, I was a Methodist from the time I was old enough to make profession of faith until I got married. My wife was a better Christian than I was, so I joined her church. I got baptized. I was a full-fledged Baptist member and lost. On the road to hell. Don't you put up with just church membership. You need something better than that. Don't you put up with any denominational tag. You need something better. You need Jesus.
Amen.
You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call, He'll save you. Ah, precious faith takes hold of precious promises. And brings a precious life. Brings some blessing. Ah, there's one more verse. John chapter 6 and verse 37. I can almost say this is one of my favorite verses in all the Word of God because of the tremendous promise it has in it. All that the Father giveth me, John 6, 37, shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, that's Jesus, I will for no reason cast him out. Ah, my friend, if you're here and you're lost, you come to Jesus, He won't throw you away. You repent of your sins, ask Him to forgive you. Come to Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He'll forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll change your life. He'll make you a new person. He'll give you a reason for living. I don't know about you. My life has been blessed by precious promises in the Word of God. If God's spoken to your heart, do whatever the Lord has laid on your heart. Let's stand and sing number 249. This altar is open for Christians or lost people alike. If you're here and you want to accept Christ as your Savior, come take my hand. I'll get somebody to pray with you. If you're here as a Christian and God's spoken to your heart, maybe you need to thank God for what He's done for you. Maybe you need to tell God, Lord, I want to live in the precious promises that You've given me. Whatever. If God's spoken to your heart, this altar is open. Let's play. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promises that are written in this book to give us comfort and peace and joy. Oh God, I pray that we would live an abundant life by faith in Your precious promises. If there is a lost soul in the sound of my voice, I pray that You would give them no rest till they get saved. I pray for every child of God. I pray that you'd meet their needs, that you'd draw them closer to yourself, that you would bless them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.